I'm Abby Wick. I'm an Extension Soil Health Specialist up at North Dakota State University. And I started my position a couple years ago, and I took kind of that first year to figure out how in the heck I was going to incorporate soil health into the state of North Dakota, and how I was going to sell people on the ideas of soil health for reduced tillage, for cover crop use, for diverse rotation. And the first year, I focused a lot on working with county agents. I mean, that's the extension program, is to train agents so that they can be an extension of you and reach out to producers in the county. And as I was doing that, as I was spending more time with individual agents, I was meeting also individual producers within counties and was realizing that there's an excellent resource as well to work with those producers within each county as kind of, I don't want to call them nodes, but as the influential producers in a county that you know other people are watching. And so I thought maybe I would start taking some of my efforts to, you know, specific producers in each county that I knew I was building relationships with, and then also with that came their consultants. And so this is kind of a approach that I'm taking now of turning 5,000 acres that maybe one farmer has into 100,000 acres potential impact. So I'm just going to kind of tell the story, like we do in extension, we tell a lot of stories, of how we've worked with one producer, specifically Doug Toussaint, who's in Richland County, North Dakota, to help him integrate soil health into his program, and he farms 4,500 to 5,000 acres, and so he's a guy that's being watched in that area, and Greg LaPlante is his consultant. So this picture was taken a couple weeks ago. We were out in Doug's field. So how I met Doug is that let me back up a little bit. From one of the first things I heard from producers in these counties was that we need repetition of the concepts, we need personal relationships, we need just laid-back environments for learning. And so because of that, I started what's called these cafe talks. And so the county agents and I go into different local cafes, and we meet with producers that are either encouraged to attend, or they hear through the grapevine that this is going on, or they show up sometimes for a free lunch. But most of them are there because they want to learn, and they like that environment of not having somebody talk at them, but somebody talking with them and helping with the learning process and understanding that I'm learning as much as they're learning during that process. So that's how I met Doug Toussaint. So you can see he and one of his sons, Brad, is here, and then his other son, Nick, is behind the consultant. And so I met these three farmers in January of last year and started working with them on their understanding of soil health and my understanding of the agronomic system and the farming operations that exist in that area. And then I've known their consultant, Greg LaPlante, for quite a while, and I think he was one of those people that encouraged them to start attending informal cafe talk sessions. So you can see in this group of people that we brought together a couple weeks ago, we have the producers, we have the consultant, we have Extension represented, not only with me as a specialist, but also the county agent is there. We do have an NRCS specialist there as well in soil health, and this is Hal right here, and then we also have a seed sales person from industry. So it was kind of a nice grouping of people to come together to talk through concepts and solidify programs that we're doing, and try to figure out how to take that information out to the public, either during the winter season, through talks and through panel discussions, or next year what we're going to do to really show impact of these soil health management practices. So you can see this plot that we have here is actually a strip that Doug left me at the end of his quarter section. It was a 70-foot wide strip, and he basically said, I want to try out all kinds of different things for cover crops. We learned a lot about that this winter. I want to see it in action. So I said, okay, well, Doug, sure, we can do that. And we got some seed donated, and Doug helped me design the mixes that we were going to test, and his consultant Greg also had input on those mixes, and then we have a project. And it's actually a project that was never funded, but it was able to come about because of the resources that we have and what each of us brought to the table as far as what we could do. So we'll talk a little bit about what the producer brings to the table and why these relationships are so important and why Doug has been so instrumental in this whole process. Producers have the land, right? They have the land we need to do these demos on. They have the influence within their communities. They have the relationships that they've built with other farmers, relationships they've built with their consultants. They obviously have equipment. Sometimes it's difficult to find a 10-foot drill to put in cover crops into plots, but Doug has one, and I actually own one now, too, that he fixed up for me and did all the welding on. So you start building these relationships, and using that person who's very influential within their county that people are watching is extremely important to starting to get things on the ground. I think we know in extension we can talk all we want to producers about concepts, but until we're really integrated into their lives, until we have that trust with them, we're not going to get anywhere, and they're more likely to learn from other farmers anyway. So we might as well work with the farmers and help them start being the role models within their communities. So then we have the consultant, who Greg LaPlante here doing the pointing. He is instrumental in that he has the understanding of the entire system. I mean, the farmer understands the agronomic system, and then the consultant takes it to the next level with weed control and how are you going to do weed control and cover crop plots to build soil health. What are the parameters that these farmers are asking about with soil health? What do we need to build on to, and the information we need to get to the farmers for that? They also are very resourceful in that they know a lot of people in industry. And so because of that connection with who they know in industry, that helps us get things done on a limited budget. So very instrumental in this whole process and taking that information out to other people as well. And then we have what Extension brings to the table. And sometimes I feel like I don't maybe bring enough to the table when you look at all these other things people are doing. But we bring the analytical part of the process and the information and the programming that can exist with that information. So we do the sample collection, we do the analyzing of what's happening, how the soil health is being built under different cover crop mixes in this situation, under reduced tillage, which is also part of this system now. We take that information and we bring it together and we interpret it. And then we put that into our programs and we teach our county agents or we teach other producers over the winter sessions through our cafe talks, through our larger presentations. We bring that to the table as far as what we can offer. And also we can get funding, obviously, for these projects to make this easier on the farmer to try out specific approaches and not have as much risk associated with it. But the must-haves of this approach are really the basis of this whole thing is trust. And the basis of this whole thing is time. And if you don't have time and you don't have trust, then it won't work. And so I would say with this one producer that I've spent hours working with him, you know, not only just calling him every couple days, but also, learning more about his process, riding in the combine with him, being out in the field looking at the soil and how it's changing and how the cover crops are growing, going into his shop and meeting with him and with other producers that he knows to learn from them and also provide information that I have to them. So the basis of this whole, the way this whole thing works, I think, is trust. And you can't have trust until you build a relationship with a farmer. And to do that, it takes time. And so I think when we look at our busy schedules and we try to figure out how we have to be in 25 places at one time, to step back and to realize that by working with one person and bringing their knowledge to a level that's exceeding what maybe other people have in the area, and also then realizing that we benefit from this relationship as well and what we learn, it's kind of a neat relationship that forms where you learn side by side. And to me, that's maybe the most powerful way to implement change, and we'll look at some of the things that Doug has done, I think, because of this relationship we developed back in January. So here it is. This is what he's done. He's got, in this one field we've been working on, he has that strip of cover crops is on the south end of the field, but the entire quarter he put into barley, which is the appropriate crop for that field. It used to be corn and beans. And because he wanted to select a crop that would grow for that particular soil type, he put in barley. And to me, that's the first step. You know, most people wouldn't go that route because they can't make a ton of money and they don't have a market for barley. But he said, I'm tired of this field. What is here is not working, so I'm going to do barley. And this fall, we dug around and we found the first earthworms that he's ever seen on any of his land. And to me, that was huge. Yeah, both of us left that day. We found within a square foot or cubic foot, we found probably four or five earthworms. And that moment and that time, I think, is what convinced Doug that this is working and that this is what needs to happen to make these soils better. And the soils in this picture, these soils are actually rock hard. And when you dig in them, they're over 65% clay. They hold a lot of water. They're ridiculous to work with. And you can actually see that some of that soil is coming back to resemble a soil that hasn't been worked and deep ripped and just beaten up over the years. So he's got cover out there now where he would have tillage originally. He would have gone in and worked this field a couple times. He's pretty heavy tillage in that area. So to me, the fact that there's now a farmer that that has gone in, no-tilled in his barley, done very minimal soil disturbance, and now he's seeing the results of that in a very short time is huge. He's now got a permanent demo plot on his land. He keeps asking me what we're going to grow there next year. So this is an example of one of the plots that we tried with the mixes out there, and we leave signs that is on the plots, and I take other farmers by those plots, and he's encouraged me to bring, you know, different farmers there to look at it, and he said they can show up anytime. He just wants them to see what he's doing and to learn the same things that he's learning. And then down on the bottom right here, we have a field where he aerially seeded cover crops into two quarters of his land that I don't think he probably would have done that previously, but he's done that on two quarters. And then we were in that field, and I said, what's your plan for these? And he said, these are going to be what you call NT. I said, what? He goes, no-till. He said, I'm not tilling these fields, and I'm going to leave them like this. I'm going to let the cover crop grow, and I'm going to try to get into these fields next spring and leave my corn stalk standing, leave the residue standing. I'm not going to chop it. So he's got plans now that he's developing that I don't think would have developed had we not formed a relationship and had we not started looking at these soils and spending the time looking at everything that he's doing. But it does, like I said, it requires an immense amount of time to do these things. It requires a huge commitment. I should also mention that Doug is, gosh, we had a cover crop workshop this spring because there's a lot of prevent plant ground in the area. And he rounded up 60 farmers to come to that meeting and to learn about cover crops at the end of June and held it in a shop. And I don't think those things would happen. You couldn't invite 50 or 60 people to a workshop and get them there to talk about cover crops, which are not used a lot in that area. So seeing big changes, and it's all this idea that we had, you know, back in January of trying to turn 5,000 acres, Doug's 5,000 acres, into 100,000 acres. And the way the math works on that is you figure Doug has, you know, five or six guys that he knows that watch what he's doing. And so that turns into, if they all have 5,000 acres or so that they farm, that turns into 25,000 acres that he's reaching. And then you figure if I maybe talk to 10 different producers this winter that all have 5,000 acre farms, and I encourage them to do something, they learn from what Doug is doing from his participation in farmer panels or something like that, then that turns into 50,000 acres. And then you figure, you know, the consultants, if he just gets five clients to try cover crops on his, now we're at 100,000 acres total that we could potentially impact. And to me, in Extension, we often look at the numbers of individuals we reach, but I think in a lot of ways it's important to look at the acres that we reach and have the potential to influence as far as soil health building practices. So I'm pretty excited about this project and the way that this is going, and we've started this in other counties with different producers. So I think we've seen a lot of success out of building these relationships and trying to impact as much land as we possibly can with soil health practices. But a huge commitment on Doug's part. So this is, where is Doug? These are all the things that Doug was doing this winter while we went to St. Cloud for a meeting together. He went up to north of Fargo to another no-till farm. So when you get a heavy tillage guy out to a bunch of no-till farms, I think you're doing something right. So he's been out over to Lisbon, which is a two-hour drive for him, to look at this farming operation here. So this is the one north of Fargo. He drove probably an hour and a half to get to that one. Here he is at a winter meeting learning about fertility and then participating in discussion groups. And then he and I and another no-till farmer and some of the grad students I work with, we went on a no-till tour of North Dakota and South Dakota that he spent 4 days on in the middle of summer, going on that tour to look at and meet Dwayne Beck, which when you're a conventional tiller and you meet Dwayne Beck, you're probably got to be a little scared. So, but he took it all in stride, and he's learning a lot, and I think this is a really fruitful relationship that's formed that's going to lead to change in soil health practices in North Dakota. So with that, does anyone have any questions on this approach? I know it seems really logical and like something that we should be doing and kind of common sense, but... Yeah, Chad.
I'm fascinated by, you know, for people who don't know, I'm a technician for one of the technicians, not the soil health specialist. Has any of your other workers had these cafe talks? Because they seem, I mean, where are farmers in the winter? They're in cafes, they're in the center.
Mm-hmm.
That seems revolutionary. It seems so simple.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I think when I talked to some of the other specialists, they thought I was crazy that I was going to make that time commitment to do those cafe talks, because it was twice a month for 3 months that I went to these cafes, and I would go to one in the morning and I go to one in the afternoon. But what I'm trying to do with those is trying to bring other specialists with me so that we're integrating their programs as well into these cafe talks and reaching the same producers with these programs. So I think this year, I think it's caught a lot of traction from last year, and I think this year we'll have more specialists that go out there and do it. But it is like the lowest tech way to reach producers, but it seems to work if you get them there. Those are the ones the impact statements we got from that were huge as far as who was going to share information with other farmers and who was going to try new things. And so I don't think you get any kind of impact like that off of a workshop or a field tour. But yeah, encourage Joel and Hans. They want to go, I'm sure. So. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.